Welcome back, Jokers. If you didn't hear last week's episode, here's what you missed. The group's in WWE now. We enter and we kick everyone's ass, and now we're bad guys. Derek and I were a championship pedigree tag team. It works well because I like to hurt people, but Derek's kind of a dick, which doesn't help later on. Kobe's the mid-card guy, so you hate that you love him. I'm pretty much stuck on the hate. And John's the big dog, of course, right? We enter WWE as good guys, but I feel disrespect as our tenure continues on. So then I do my best Dennis Rodman impression and fuck everything up. And then that's when all hell breaks loose. You ready? Here we go. Derek gets taken out. Kobe takes offense. Josh just watches from wherever penthouse he's at. Derek gets it back in blood. We all bicker. And now we got us a match at WrestleMania. Okay, you're all caught up. Let's go. Also, subscribe to the social media page. Subscribe to Twitter and YouTube at jokes_podcast. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Let's go.
So, Kobe is informed that as champion, he will have to defend his title at WrestleMania, which concerns him. He asks Josh for backup to stand in his corner, and Joshua agrees, only if Kobe admits that Joshua is right about pulling double duty. Kobe walks off, and Joshua looks concerned for his friend. Kobe then asks Derek who he'll think about and let him know the day of the show. So, in the build-up to Mania, we all spend like an episode on TV having like different sit-down interviews.
So, I'm full of determination that I can prove Josh wrong, and I can pull double duty.
And, you know, I'm excited, you know, for my first WWE Championship match. And I just want to make sure that I give, you know, the audience a good show.
I am making everything about myself. But I'm also relishing in this solo screen time.
And mine is very brooding. I repeatedly state that I just wish it didn't come to this. I wish they understood. So, the go-home show. The last Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania, Jesse, Kobe, and Derek are all in the ring. They're making their declarations for WrestleMania. They're saying, you know, I'm going to be the one to take the championship. No, I'm going to, that sort of thing. And it turns into sort of a shoving match. Again, I run out. I don't have a microphone. I break it up. I'm like, guys, I'm still believing in this idea that we're a team, we're brothers, all that kind of stuff. And Derek gets in my face for always siding with Jesse, even though he's done so much wrong, which causes us to argue. And Kobe tries to get between us, and he puts his hands on me. And as any heated man will tell you, don't put your hands on me. And so that becomes a thing. And then it results in this big, massive pull apart brawl where not only officials, referees, but also like the rest of the locker room. Like this needs to sort of look like a Brock Lesnar, Undertaker pull apart brawl, you know, back in the, like that sort of thing. It needs to be this huge thing. And also it's gonna look great for the WrestleMania promo that they do and all that sort of stuff. But like, this needs to like, there is animosity. There is some sort of like, the three of them are out for blood, and I've been trying to like, just keep my composure this entire time, but I'm tired of it. So yeah, that's how the show ends. So now that we've gotten to this place, it's right before Mania. How are we feeling?
It's heating up. It's heating up, man. It's finally come to blows. Like, yeah. You know, we all really have like an individualistic mindset at this point. And you can see, you know, from the storyline that we're not really a team anymore. And how we got here, it's just really interesting just because you think it's going to be one way, you know, as when you come in together and, you know, sometimes things come in the way of that.
I was also going to say, this is almost like the first sign of tension between everyone, like besides Jesse. Like, obviously we are all having like stuff towards Jesse, but this is the first time like you see me and Josh really having like a, not a dust up, but like, you know, interacting in a more tense manner. Derek as well. So it's good to see, like, because clearly we all have this thing towards Jesse, like Jesse's getting in the way, but you can almost, like, you can start to see, like, all right, now there's a little tension between everyone else in the group.
So at WrestleMania itself, Kobe opens up with his title defense with me in his corner. It goes 20 minutes. I stopped the heel from cheating, and Kobe retains his title, although he is exhausted at this point. Josh congratulates him in the back, but reiterates that he is not going to take it easy on him.
Yes, I am not. So the Fatal 4-Way closes WrestleMania. It's the main event, and Kobe's arm or midsection or leg or something is still heavily wrapped from the opener. Like he, you know, he's coming down off that adrenaline rush, whatever, you know, that person was working over on that body part. Like it is still very, very much in pain. It's the second match of the night too. So Kobe does get a little bit of sympathy points from the fans from that, like having to wrestle in two WrestleMania matches. But bell rings, Kobe and Derek immediately go after Jesse, right? They both have like this longstanding beef blood, and they even like push each other out of the way to do it. And I just, as a smart champion, I just kind of sit back and watch the stuff unfold and waiting for the right moment to pick my battle. So eventually Kobe and Jesse spill out the ring. They might take each other both out. You know, they might be towards the rope, and Derek, you know, tosses them whatever. And it's just me and Derek in the ring. Derek, the showman, he's hyping up the crowd. He's like super ready for the big moment. And like, I get annoyed because I've been trying to tell him, this is not going to end the way that you want it to end. You are not ready for this. And so as he turns back towards me, hit him with a big clothesline. Like one of those big sweeping, like it turns him inside out clotheslines. And I look at him just very disappointed, yelling like, I told you, you were not ready for this. Like, you're clearly not taking this seriously. And as Derek rolls out the ring, Kobe comes in from behind and tries to roll me up in a pin attempt. He only gets a one count. And I'm just looking at him like, motherfucker, how dare you? Like, did you forget, like, our mission here? And Kobe just kind of goes like, you know, had to try. My bad.
And so the match goes on for about 30 minutes, and it's not until the last 10 minutes or so that we truly get, like, The match goes on for about 30 minutes. It's not until like the last 10 minutes or so that the fans truly get to see a match between me and Josh go one-on-one confrontation. Josh asks me to look around myself and see if this is what I really want. Like, there's weapons laying around and Kobe and Derek all laid out. I'm becoming really angry, rushes to Josh, and we just go back and forth. And like, just as I'm building up some steam, Derek comes and pushes me out the ring, where he and Kobe start beating on me. And so the next thing you know, like, Josh joins in the three, like, triple powerbomb me from the steel steps, like Shield style, like boom, 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 boom. And the match ends with me outside, Josh hitting his finisher on Kobe, and Derek being too late to break up the pinfall.
So while I'm like just in so much pain right now, because not forget, I did have a match early in the night. Josh looks at Derek. He looks in the eyes. They shake hands, saying that, you know, gave the fans a good show. All you can really ask for. They both pick me up with Derek putting a championship around his waist and Josh telling me that I'm a warrior and I should be proud of myself. Me, Derek, and Josh, we embrace. We turn to look at Jesse, who's just like, he's refusing any kind of medical attention. We motion to him to come back into the ring and to be all together. But Jesse's just looking disgusted, and he just limps away in straight up pain.
So, boom, we've got it through Mania.
Congratulations, you walked out as champion.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. There is a reason for this. We will continue to follow this up. There is some aftermath that is very interesting. But yes, Kobe, you have the ultimate sympathy points. You are the babyface that fought in two matches. I mean, you withheld all of this punishment, pain, and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing you take away by taking that pin. And the reason is, and that's the reason it had to be you, right? If Jesse takes that pin, it kind of kills all of his heel momentum, right? He doesn't have a real want for a rematch. He doesn't have a real case for it. If Derek takes that pin, it's sort of like we're sort of trying to elevate Derek to the next level. So he's going from tag team specialist to, you know, a level above that. He can't really, you know, he can sort of, but maybe, but no. And then, you know, there's reason for me to lose, but I think in the end it is more interesting to keep it on me for now and then to continue this going down the road. But how do you guys feel?
It's really interesting now. Like, how can I put this? It's at this point, I got taken out of it because everybody was just like, fuck me for all the stuff that I did, which truly makes sense, right? Like, all that would, like, just come back to, like, haunt me and just, like, I lose the title shot. But then again, like, I would have never got the title shot unless, like, I went that road. But I do find it interesting how it's like on one side, it's like, man, Jesse's not coming to his senses. You know, he should just, like, come back to his senses and control, like, you know, and just be with the whole group and everything. But at the same time, though, if you notice this too, two things have happened. So, like, you notice how for this group, we want the mission to be no roll-ups or nothing? This is the second time I noticed a roll-up. Like, Josh did a roll-up, and then Kobe did one. So it's, like, that type of mission. And then, of course, like, I'm not taking a handshake. Like, that shows the mission is being challenged. But I really find it interesting, though, like, how, again, Josh has, like, Josh's character has, like, this, like, puppet control shift, like, on the group. It's, like, he checks everyone in the group. Like, he's, like, no one's not ready but him. He's, like, stay in your place. Derek, like, Derek, you're not ready for that. You're not pretty for this. You stay right there. Kobe, you know, you work hard. You're good enough. You work hard enough to be where you're at. And Jesse's just, like, you know, for Josh, it's, like, you know, hey, you know, Jesse, you should just be happy with what you got. And I'm just like, nah, fuck all that. I don't want to do this no more. No, I'm tired of doing this shit. I want a shot. Why can't I get one? Like, that's what I'm starting to see.
Yeah, it's definitely planting the seeds there too for another heel turn. Because it's not a true baby face to be like, you're not ready, right? Like, that's not something you would normally hear from, like,
you wouldn't.
Right. So you're starting to also...
saying it. It's the way how you're saying it and doing it. It's like you're not saying it, but it's the way how you're doing it.
Right. It's like, it's one of those, like, I love you. I don't think you're... I'm trying to protect you. And you continue to talk about the prestige of this WWE Championship, which is, like, again, very thinly veiled, right? But yeah, Kobe and Derek, how y'all feel?
I mean, for me, it's, you know, it's just, it's also kind of interesting to me, even going back to what you said about me not being ready, because if it wasn't for, you know, a second or two here, I could have won, right? So, like, the fact that I was that close to it, but it just kind of eludes me once again. You know, I enjoy the us three coming together, but Jesse, he's still an outlier, right? Like, he still is like, fuck the group, right? I think, you know, in general, the way the match went, it very much fit the way that the story was developing, right? Like, me and Kobe are just straight on that fuck Jesse energy and go straight towards him to, like, fight him. And, you know, you're doing your thing. You're playing chess. You know, in the match, you're, like, calculating moves and things like that. And, I mean, it's just, yeah, I mean, I feel like it's shaping up to definitely continue to be, you know, one heck of a saga, especially with Jesse still, you know, his character being the way he is still. So
it's like you understand why he's saying fuck that. And I will say, like, I as my Jesse energy or my Jesse-ism, as y'all say, I appreciate y'all just coming out the gate for me. Like, that is like some, nah, nigga, we want you first. We gonna handle this real quick. It's like, oh, fuck us? Cool. We got you.
We got something for that ass, boy.
Keep that energy, G. Like, I think even my character will appreciate that. It's like, all right, you know, cool. You know, it's fair. It's the principalities.
No, and kind of what Josh was saying, it makes the most sense for either me getting pinned and Josh winning, or yeah. And it's even no matter who won, it obviously has to be me getting pinned for the fact of, one, I had a match early in the week, so earlier in the night, rather. So everybody kind of like, yeah, we get it. Like, he couldn't be on like 100%. Like, it's just it's an easy way out, so nobody has to lose their momentum. But also, especially in Fatal Four Ways, there were, if it wasn't going to be Josh winning, it would either really have to be Josh or Jesse.
Yeah, it's really only Josh. It's really only me or Jesse.
Because for me, like, I'm still the Intercontinental Champion. It would kill so much because you can see where the tension's starting to go in the story. Like, the whole, and we're going to get into a little bit more. You can see where the tension's starting to go. So if I won the title, it would kind of kill that tension and take away from it. Derek is just, he's on the come up. Not so much the come up to that level, but he's still on the come up. So it was either going to be one of those two. And for me, it was just going to make a lot of sense to take that pin just because it's the easy, not just easy, but the smart thing to do. I don't look worse for it.
To kick off Raw, Kobe comes out and he's still very heavily taped up from the night before. Remember, he worked two WrestleMania matches and he is opening up the show. And he talks about how much it meant for him to just compete for another world championship opportunity. He doesn't get that a whole bunch. And even though he didn't win, he's still very happy to be the Intercontinental Champion. Hurt or not, he has a duty to put the championship on the line and to, you know, bring up these up-and-comers, give them a shot, and he's issuing an open challenge. And before he can finish that sentence, Derek comes out, and he talks about how he was also glad to perform it in front of everyone, his first WrestleMania, you know, like, singles, you know, event. And now with Jesse seemingly on his own path, rejecting that, you know, coming to arms type of thing, Derek is free to do as he pleases. So he challenges Kobe for the title. Kobe agrees. They have a very evenly paced 15-minute match, a lot of back and forth. And Derek emerges the victor. He's the new Intercontinental Champion. And this is actually after countering a good bit of Kobe's offense. He shows off some moves that he didn't even show off last night. He's really been, you know, studying, honing his craft as, you know, a singles competitor. So he's still clearly hurt, but Kobe presents Derek with the championship, gives him a big hug, handshake, all that sort of thing. He tells him that he's earned it and to make him proud and, you know, does the whole raise hand point type of thing. Kobe then goes to SmackDown where he can get into the main event scene. So I want to stop here and sort of talk about this because we have elevated two people now, right? Derek is now your new mid-card singles championship, singles champion. He is next in line. Everyone sees his potential, all that sort of thing. And, you know, it's a nice, steady elevation for him. He goes from, you know, tag team, just being a flashy guy, to having good spots at WrestleMania. Like, he gets all the big, flashy, like spots. Now he gets to prove his mettle as the Intercontinental Champion. Kobe, again, pure babyface. He has worked now three matches in the span of 24 hours. Like, he is exhausted. He just did not have it in him. And maybe it wasn't his best day, sure. But he doesn't look any worse for wear for being in a grueling intercontinental championship match, a fatal four-way, and then a match against an opponent he didn't get to study for in Derek, right? Who clearly has to watch all of his tape, gets to sort of, you know, pick apart his offense, that sort of thing. He's clearly very prepared. He can now go after being the most pure person in this entire thing, can go off and be on SmackDown where he can go into the main event scene and actually be the Universal Champion. So you two, how do you guys feel?
I think, man, this is a good... Oh, go ahead, Kobe, my bad.
I'm going to say, I'm sore. Like, this just sounds like my body went through a lot. Like, all of this from getting my ass beat by Jesse for 2 months. Then I have three matches in the span... Three title matches, honestly. Like, three title matches in the span of 24 hours. Two of them in the same night. I mean, that's just... That's a lot, but it makes sense because at this point, I lose my title. There's really no need for me to have a rematch. Like, it's just kind of like, all right, you know what? This is my boy. He beat me fair and square. This is like, there's not much room for me to really do my thing here. So I want to get back to the main event scene. I know I can do it. I kind of proved it, even though I never won. So I'm going to do it on another show, which for me, it makes sense. And for Derek, I mean, this is just, we see it all throughout WWE history, like you said.
And like you said, I think if there was an argument for you to stay in a Continental Champion, you could have, but like, you don't really have, like, there's nothing else for you to do there, right? You've proven yourself there. So it's time for you to like move up the card, like, naturally, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and then, like, for me, even as much as my character seemingly wanted to be a champion early on, it's probably better for him at this time that he became, you know, the Intercontinental Champion, because you can, as somebody who's been through a lot and has kind of seen their potential, he can finally kind of, like, you know, he can appreciate the slow burn, I guess, if you want to call it that, just because he's had to work, you know, in many different ways to get to this point. And like you said, you know, now that Jesse is, you know, not really with him anymore as a team, I can focus on kind of developing myself and honing my craft.
So later that night, Josh talks about how he's inspired by my work ethic and wants to do something he rarely ever does, and that's defend the title on free TV. So Josh issues an open challenge with a caveat. It has to be to anyone he hasn't faced one-on-one yet. Like, I think of a Matt Riddle / NXT type just makes their way after their main debut, and they accept the challenge. So Josh shakes hands with this Matt Riddle NXT type, and it's set for the main event. The match goes for about 35 minutes of TV time, and at the end, Josh is outside, having thrown his opponent to the ring, when out of nowhere, he gets attacked by Jesse, who comes through the crowd. Immediately, the two start to brawl, and Josh wins by disqualification, retaining his title. Jesse does ultimately get the upper hand, and the last image we see from that night's show is Jesse standing over Josh, screaming, "Do I have your attention now?"
So then from there, they have a match set up for the next pay-per-view, and in the weeks leading up to it, neither one of them can stop fighting the other, right? So at this point, all hell has broken loose. They interrupt matches. There's backstage segments. And, you know, the go-home show is a 10-minute, you know, pull-apart brawl. The pay-per-view match itself is chaotic, and both of them get counted out. So then Raw's GM, you know, sets a rematch at the next pay-per-view, because you can't end a match that way. He asks both of them, you know, what type of match they think it should be. Jesse, being Jesse, answers that it should be a Hell in a Cell match. Josh, on the other hand, says that it should be a Last Man Standing. So now it gets interesting, because the GM agrees with both of them, right? Both of them have made really valid points. And he announces that this will be the first ever Last Man Standing Hell in a Cell match, under the condition that neither man touches each other before said match. If Josh even thinks about beating up Jesse, he vacates his title. If Jesse thinks about touching Josh, he's out of the match. They agree, and Josh largely leaves Jesse alone. And Jesse tries to goad Josh into hitting him, but it doesn't work.
The rematch goes about 25 minutes, and it's a very brutal match. Like, we're going back and forth. The end of the match has, like, Josh and I at the top of the cage, and I get the upper hand by pushing Josh off the cage and going straight into the table. For all my classic wrestlers fans out there, think of when, like, Undertaker, like, threw Mick Foley off, and, like, Mick Foley just, like, hit that table so hard that his shoe popped off.
No, not only his shoe, his tooth went through his nose.
So I look at first horrified, but then I correct my facial expression, yelling at the ref below, like, who is checking on Josh and calling for medical professionals to start counting. I'm like, nah, fuck all that. Count his ass out, then get him a rep. I don't care if he bleeds out, you better count to 10 before he does. But I climb down and I berate the referee for not doing his job. The ref does a faster count than usual to protect Josh. And, like, I'm crowned the new WWE champion, and I softly cradle the championship. And as Josh is being stretched out, I stop the procession. Officials are afraid that I'll hurt Josh, but I don't. Instead, I'm saying, all I ever wanted was to be like you. Respect it. And Josh disappears from WWE TV for at least 3 to 4 months. During that time, I turn back face, and the people have a sympathetic reason to get behind me. Now, I'm just going to stop and say this. I'm just going to go back to when I said in this match, all I ever wanted was to be like you, respected. That's all I wanted. If y'all would have just let me finish my matches, if y'all would let me finish the matches with Derek, I would have been probably content. We would have been cool. I probably would have went after like the WWE United States belt. Like who fucking knows? Probably would have been a mid-carder, right? Nah, y'all didn't give me that. I just wanted to be respected, dog. The moment y'all started to make Derek bitch me, I said no. I said, ain't no way.
Yeah, and I think that part is very crucial, right? The people understand. Obviously, again, he's thrown me off the top of this Hell in a Cell. Might be a little bit too violent for other people, but that's why we have to have the camera pick that up, right? That has to be that all I ever wanted was to be like you, respected moment. Like, that has to be important, right? That needs to be shown. And I have to disappear from TV, one, to like, you know, I think WWE should do a better job at like giving wrestlers time off and like, yo, you've been working for the last 18 months, like take 2 or 3 to recharge, take off, right? But also too, to sell the impact of that injury. And not only the impact of that injury, but to also allow Jesse this face turn, right? Like he can have really good, really competitive matches where he, you know, is the babyface and is a stalwart champion. And in fact, we're gonna drop you in to his first promo as WWE champion.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last night, as you know, Jesse became the WWE Champion in the first ever Hell in a Cell Last Man Standing match, and he did it by throwing the former champion and his friend, Joshua, off the top of the cell and through an announce table.
Ross, he did what he had to do to be a champion. Why are we making this sound like such a bad thing?
I never meant for any of this to happen. I just wanted respect. I hope now, as your champion, I can earn that.
Wow. What a turn of events for our new champion, Jesse.
It sounds like he's going soft to me.
He just said he wants to earn a little respect.
Well, if he keeps caring about what other people think, he's not going to be a champion for much longer.
Okay, we're back. So, again, like he said, he's trying to be the people's champ now. He's trying to be someone that has earned respect. Derek, you're going to have a very integral part in this. How are you feeling?
Man, let's get into this, dog. So this newfound support, you know, that Jesse is receiving, it drives me, still the Intercontinental Champion, insane. I'm ticked off, man. I can't believe how short-sighted and fickle these WWE fans are, right? This obsession of mine causes me to lose my first singles championship 1 week while doing, you know, our usual open challenge. I don't even look sad. I'm kind of like, you know, as they would say, a million miles away.
Now, again, this has to be sort of like, I don't want to say a slow thing. You don't want to prolong this too long. But like he can start having like backstage segments where he's like, he's fine. And then someone mentions Jesse and he just like snaps at that reporter. And then the next week he goes back and he's like, no, I'm so sorry. Like I don't. But like you can see him. And then later that night, you can see him watching one of Jesse's matches because Jesse's sort of like the opposite of me. He'll be on TV. He'll wrestle for free. He might not put the championship on the line, but he'll wrestle on free TV. And like you kind of just see Derek just watching back, like seething, right? Like it breaks his brain. He cannot understand.
When Josh returns, Jesse is still the champion. Josh demands a rematch. Saying the ref from the Last Man Standing Hell in the Cell match counted too fast and didn't really give him the chance to recover. Even though, you know, Josh almost died. So there's that. Jesse tells Josh to get in line and to earn it.
Like a dick, gee. Like, that's such a dick thing to say.
But it's also the same thing that you would, like, tell me. Like, I would tell you. It's like, yo, like, I got all these people in line. Like,
it's like, it's such a dick move, but it's like, there's a reason for it. I like this Jesse because this Jesse has reasons for why he does it. They're legit. There are like logical reasons behind this.
As they're saying, that's role reversal right there. In Rage, Josh just disrupts every single one number one's contender match until he gets what he wants. So the Raw GM relents. But if Josh loses, he has to leave Raw and go to SmackDown or NXT.
So I lose the match. And out of pure disbelief, I attack Jesse afterwards. And I say, it was never about the prestige of the title. It was about me. I make the title prestigious. Again, full heel turn. Like lean in. We've been sort of like planting the seeds for this for months. And now it is finally here, right? So afterwards, the Money in the Bank winner, he tries to cash in on Jesse because we've had another like brutal, like one of those type of matches. I've just attacked Jesse. And Derek arrives to drive that person off. He makes the save. Right, he's a babyface intercontinental champion, or so it seems, because he helps Jesse up, only to attack him in the exact same manner that Jesse attacked him at the Royal Rumble forever ago. Derek has not forgiven, nor has he forgotten. Right, Derek then leaves Jesse to the Money in the Bank winner, who is just like he's just up the ramp. He's sort of like watching all this. Like Stun comes in, cashes in, and Derek costs Jesse the money, the WWE Championship while watching coldly from the steel steps. Derek has turned heel with his accession from Jesse fully taken over, not understanding why or how these fans can forgive Jesse. They can root for him, do any of that sort of thing. All of this has just broken his brain.
How you like them apples?
How you like me now?
I said, you know what? Nah. Yeah, I'm literally sitting in the back like, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Man. Yeah. So before I ask you guys how it felt, it feels important to also have taken away both championships from these guys, right? I think that's one of the main things that sometimes WWE gets wrong. Jesse and Derek have a legit blood feud in front of them. Like, it's ready-made. We've all seen all this play out. You don't really need a championship to sort of get in the way of that, because now it becomes more about the championship rather than this relationship that the two of them have had, right? Like, again, Derek has never forgiven Jesse for the way that he brutally attacked him at Royal Rumble, even to a degree the way that I've, like, sort of, like, stood up for him in that lead-up to Mania. He tried to move on. He tried to be his own champion. He tried to follow in Kobe's lead. Kobe's not here anymore. I've been gone from TV for months on end now. And even when I came back, I'm so singularly focused on this thing that Derek has like sort of been allowed to rot in his own mind, all while like having a semi-long, like, you know, he's had a 3 or 4 month long like Intercontinental Championship ring. Like, that's pretty decent, especially for a first time guy. And so, yes, how do you guys feel about this, Jesse and Derek?
Wait, before that, especially for a black champion. All right, there we go.
Yeah, I mean.
WWE, you hear that, Vince? Black. Oh, I just want to say, I'm not. I know we just had Black History Month and all that, but I always telling y'all, bro, the light-skinned niggas are always the villains in here, bro. Like, the stereotypical light-skinned niggas are always the villain, bro. The tall, light-skinned hero, that's always going to be the villain, as always. So it's like, if y'all didn't see Josh being healed for this, I don't know what y'all going to do about this. I don't know. I know I'm light, but I'm a dark-skinned nigga at spirit. So, like, I do a lot of niggatry at heart, okay? That's all I'm going to keep it as. All right, cool. Just going to leave that as what it is.
It sucks for my character. It sucks that he let his obsession get in the way of, like, potentially even going longer than those, you know, months that he held it. But I guess that goes to show you people remember. People remember these things, and you know, I tried to, like you say, put it to the side for the sake of the group, at least when I thought the group was still going to be a thing. But, I mean, he fucked me over. You know, he injured me brutally. Brutally. And I said, what goes around comes around.
He said, God forgives. I don't. Shout out to Rick Ross.
Facts. Yeah. All right. I'll finish this off. So, me having turned heel, I leave Raw. And after a week or so of speculation, you just don't really see me on either, you know, SmackDown or NXT, maybe sending out some tweets like, you know, sort of, you know, upplaying this. I end up on SmackDown face to face with the new Universal Champion, Kobe. And so we don't fight initially, right? There is some like, Kobe's like, nah, man, you got to put in the work. You got to get in line, that sort of thing. When we do, Kobe retains. He's allowed to continue to be champion. And I sort of just drop out of the title scene for a while because I've really been in the main event title scene for 3 years now at this point, like from the beginning of this group until now. Sort of just allow me to fall down and allow sort of other people to be built up on the back of wins over me at this point, right? And so eventually, after everyone has done a heel and face turn, so I might turn face again, but then Kobe might turn heel, and then Jesse might turn heel again, and then Derek might turn face, or however that math lines up.
He turns heel, and then he stays heel for another 2 months. He does something good, but then stays heel.
Yeah, exactly. And eventually there will be a reunion, but it's not until there's another group ready to set destruction on WWE. We sort of individually all get jumped, and then sort of maybe two of us at a time, we realize like, yo, we gotta set all this aside. We gotta bring this back together. So yes, that is the saga of It's Just Jokes in WWE. How are we feeling, yo? Like that was a lot.
You gotta do a part two, and I know just the four people to bring to flesh out the second for part two.
Interesting.
We gotta bring back part two. All four of us. Well, after today, it'll be all three of us.
How do I
say goodbye?
All right. So before we get into that, yes. Let's finish up. How do you feel about this, Derek? And then Cope, I'll let you end it off.
Just first off, you know, good job, my guy. Good job. It was definitely a good and thorough read. You know. By the way, these companies, you know, if anybody's listening, if anybody need a black writer, you know, on their team, you got one right here. But no, I really think that it was a good story in terms of, you know, initially, you know, with us being a team and then people wanting their own things out of the whole, you know, run, the dynamics that come into play of like, even me and Kobe, you know, being friends at one point, but then we got beef, you know, sort of. Seeing, you know, you as a leader, that one thing that really got me, and I think it was a great addition, was when you finally admitted, you know, at the end, like, this was never about prestige or, you know, how hard it is to keep a title. Like, I wanted to be the guy, right? And I think that's something that, like, everyone can relate to, just because, you know, everybody at some point, at least in their own mind, you know, wants to be on top, but you know, there's a lot that comes to it and there's a lot that can come from it in terms of, you know, relationships. So I definitely think that was interesting. Jesse's character was just on bullshit after one point. He was just on straight bullshit. But hey, it was rooted in him not being treated fairly either. So I think you get a lot of things out of every character. And, you know, if we're able to do a part two, you know, and everything like that, I think it'll only, you know, go up from there, especially once we get introduced to a possible new four who are set to, you know, do they own shit. So, yeah.
Sure.
Hey, man, I walked out the champion. Like, I'm at the top of the world. Like, what can I say? I may have gotten hit in the balls.
You undoubtedly come out the best in this. Like, yeah. you look strong almost at every single point, right? Like, you would have been in the final four of the Rumble if it wasn't for a cheap shot. And then you would have been in the Elimination Chamber if it wasn't for getting jumped. And then you could have had a WWE Championship if it wasn't for having two matches in the same night. And then, like, it's just all these, like, he's so close, but then we're going to bring him in, and, like, that sort of thing.
Right. A whole lot of pump faking.
Finally climaxed to being a champ.
Yes, you can say, you know, I finally arrived. I finally came. So, you know, it's great to be me. It's great to be me in that way. So
he finally busted on the scenes, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus Christ. Before this goes any further, I did say at the beginning
on the blue brand, of course, as you know, don't want to get anything else that's blue. So it was the perfect opportunity for me.
Jesus Christ. Right, I'm not going to keep doing this.
It's black.com.
Oh, you real Susio for knowing that one, bro. You were, but yes, like I said, this was a love letter in multiple ways. It's both as our love for WWE and sort of like fan casting fantasy doing this within their group setting, but also because we have some news. Kobe?
Take me instead,
please.
Shout out to Dragonfly Jones. Someone did say, throw that Boyz II Men on. And if you don't get that, just go down his timeline. Anyway, yes, if you didn't catch the gist of what was being said through the song, I am unfortunately stepping away from the pod. You know, I told myself I was going to cry. But no, you know, stepping away from the pod, proud of what we've created, proud of everything that's going on. If you're, hopefully you're listening to this point, hopefully you've listened to the start of season two. Absolutely proud of what's been built and where everything's going. Just unfortunately, for me, things aren't fitting right now. I just have to step away and refocus my attention on and my energy on different things in life. But super proud of all of us for what we've created, of what the direction of this pod. And this won't be the last you'll hear of me on this channel. Hopefully I'll still pop in as a guest every now and then, especially if we can get, you know, another foursome to battle in the WWE world. But as a host, as a co-host, unfortunately my time has run up, but this has been absolute joy to build. I mean, sure, at this point, it feels like we've been working on this for almost a year, to be completely honest. Yeah, it feels like it.
It's been longer than a year, actually.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years. We started talking about this, I want to say, like November, December of 19.
Yeah, like November 2019. Yeah. And just to make this clear to y'all, like, Kobe, okay, let's make this really clear. Kobe will just not be a consistent regular co-host. It's just going to be like whenever that nigga got time to be on the podcast, he gonna hop on. That's really what it is. It's just like he just gonna hop on when he can. It's not gonna be like, we got a special guest. Kobe Price is gonna be like, hey, y'all, like, we got a treat for y'all. Kobe's here today. It's just that. We want to really make this clear.
Yeah, I ain't going away forever. Just, like I said, gotta step back, step away. But like I said, above everything else, just super proud of everything we've created. Super proud of you guys, especially for continuing to carry it. And I cannot wait to see you know, what everything that is brought in season two. I thought season one was special, but I can already tell season two is going to be even better. And hard to step away, but had to give it some thought. But it's the best decision for me to make and to do. But super proud of what we created and just really excited and thrilled. Thankful for doing this and can't wait to be back on. But it's hard to say goodbyes. Let me just go. No, I'm not playing the Boyz II Men no more. They do too much. I don't feel like putting my feet up in the air while I lay on the bed writing my journal. But yeah, this has been fun. This has been a thrill. Can't wait to be back on. And thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing this, starting this together. This has been special. Truly has been.
To think it all like stemmed from even just like a conversation, you know, like these talks that you all hear, the skits, you know, that are brought to you, you know, by our team. It all started from FaceTime, y'all. Like, we were literally just at one point, you know, in time, literally just calling each other, like, on, like, what, it was Fridays? Yeah. Like,
yeah, it was Friday nights.
Yeah, we were calling each other on Friday nights because we all don't live in the same state. Or at least, well, at the time, we didn't all live in the same state. And, you know, to see it have gone from, you know, FaceTime calls, you know, Jesse being his menacing self, to him to bringing that menace to you all, you know. But all jokes aside, like, you know, it's really cool to see. Even, you know, for myself, I am not a talker. Even my friends, you know, people who I call friends know that I do not say much. I don't do too much. So it's even been interesting to see me, you know, even kind of try to insert myself a little bit. Kobe was so essential to this whole process, you know, especially for keeping us in line during episodes, because knowing me and, you know, even Jesse, you know, we tend to, we go off script a little bit, you know, we go off script, but Kobe knew how to always bring us in line. So, you know, you were such an essential part to the team. And like you said, it's not goodbye, man. You're going to be back on, man. Don't even trip. You know, we always got a space for you here. Ain't no other fourth member, bitch. Ain't no other fourth member.
There will not be a fourth member. Nah, like, to even comment on that, like, I've always said Kobe was always the dude that's just like, hey, man, I know my role. I know what I'm good at, and I'm just going to be here. Kobe was always so consistent in the meetings. Like, so consistent in the meetings, so meticulous. He just, like, he was the workhorse. Like, his WWE character fits him very nicely. So, you know, congratulations to you, Kobe, and everything that you've accomplished so far. You know, I can't wait to see what the fruits of your future endeavors labor for you.
Yeah, to sort of close this all up and put in a neat bow. The reason we're sort of like lax about this is because we've known this for the last 2-ish months, you know, 6 weeks or something like that. So I wasn't lying to you guys when I said that, like, Kobe was preoccupied with work stuff. He couldn't make it. Like, that's legit. Like, that's the reason why he couldn't do this. And now you see that. But the day that he told me, like, this, like, hurt, this stung a lot. And, you know, Kobe means a lot to this podcast, this group, but just to us individually, and then clearly as a collective, as a friend, right? But in that vein, I also want to say, on behalf of all of us, dude, we are so proud of you. Like, so, so, so proud of you. I don't think we tell that to you enough. You not only got a job in your field out of college, which is not an easy thing to do, you got it in a city that you don't know. You had to uproot, move down there completely on your own. And it's still a major market. Like, that is huge. Like, Kobe, you're going to go so many places going forward. You're only in your 20s right now. And you're covering Heat games and, you know, Inter Miami and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, you are doing the thing down there. So... and knowing all the other stuff that you take care of in your personal life, we are just, I cannot speak highly enough out of anyone out of this group, but especially you, Kobe. Like, we are so very proud of you, and I'm glad to call you my friend. So, as you said, it is not a goodbye. It is until next time. There will undoubtedly be a time where you come on the podcast. Hopefully one day we can reunite in full. As a quad, but Jesse, Derek, and I will take this on as a trio. Of course, D Will behind the scenes, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, we love you, dude. We're so proud of you.
Man, I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all. Shout out to D Will. Shout out D Will.
D Will, you had work to do for this podcast, bro. This was like.
Luckily, man, you have some time to work on it. You got some weeks, so take those weeks.
Woo! if you are to this point of the podcast, salute to you. I know it is going to be a long podcast. So, like, you are, like, you're a true fan. Like, gee, you deserve, like, merch or something like that. But for the last time for a while, not forever, for Jesse Pink, for Kobe Price, for Derek Small, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the It's Just Jokes podcast. Thank you to D Will for everything behind the scenes. We appreciate you, sir. And thank you to JLZier and King Boy for the outro music. Jesse, Derek, and I will see you guys next time. Kobe, see you down the road, buddy.
Peace out, y'all. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. And remember.
We'll see y'all.
See y'all next time. See y'all next time. Love you, boy.
See y'all later.